Lenzen! Welcome to Radio Flash, Armada's dedicated podcast covering defence, security and the electromagnetic spectrum with your host Tom Withington at the controls. On 7th of October, the Palestinian militant group Hamas launched a series of devastating raids on numerous targets in Israel. As of 23rd October, it is believed that these have killed over 1,400 people, over 5,000 have been injured and Hamas is believed to have abducted 224. The surprise attack seemingly caught Israel's government, her military and security services unaware. Inevitably, this has prompted questions regarding the extent to which these institutions failed to anticipate the actions of Hamas. Israel is known for employing one of the most comprehensive signals intelligence capabilities in the world, and the Israeli military's electronic warfare attributes are among the best. How is the war between Hamas and Israel being fought in the electromagnetic spectrum? And how could this conflict develop as Israel's actions against the militants unfold? Well, to discuss these and other questions, I'm joined by Colonel Jeffrey H. Fisher. Fish, as he's known by his call sign, is a European and global security expert, an author of the Kurt Nova series of thrillers. He's also an old friend of Armada and has been a guest on two of our podcasts to date. And he joins us today from his home in Austria. Fish, as always, it's great to have you back.
I was looking forward to this. Thanks, buddy.
I'd like to ask you, just to kick off, how did Israel's SIGINT experts seemingly fail to anticipate an attack of this audacity?
There's a couple interesting things that I think we can take away as just regular casual observers. The first one is, you know, for the past half year or so, Israel has done a lot of exercises, right? So they've been exercising quite a lot. And one of the reasons you exercise, right, is because you have some kind of non-actionable intelligence that would suggest that your enemy is up to some kind of nefarious activities. So perhaps Israel knew something was up, but they just didn't have, you know, no kidding, time, place, date, all the way down to the Nat's rear end, if you will. I'm not so sure they completely missed it. They missed the date, right? So that's a bad thing. And I think that, you know, when you look back at events where intelligence just really got it wrong, September 11th, right? 2001 in the United States, December, you know, 7th, 1941 in the United States. What's always interesting is when we go back and look at these things, someone in the intelligence community had the right answer. It was more usually either a process or a process file or some kind of hierarchy to where leadership was so inundated with intelligence for so long, they started filtering things out. And guess what? They filtered out the key critical pieces. And I wouldn't be surprised if someone at a lower level had the right answer. It just never made it to the people who could act upon it.
I think it's a good point you make that, because I often with hindsight, it's easy to see, well, you know, this went wrong and these indications were clearly there. But in the intelligence world, I think often what people forget is you're often dealing with fragments of information. You may have information, an attack is imminent tomorrow, is imminent in 4 weeks' time. You may have those fragments of information, but as you say, they don't necessarily get to the right people. They don't move through the bureaucracy as they should. Intelligence services, as you know, both you and I know, are very process-driven organizations. So I'm sure that a lot of this will probably come out in the inquiry, and I fully expect there will be some kind of inquiry once the dust settles to this. But I think you make a number of good points about that. And I think this sort of leads into another question, which is Hamas. It appears that they and their intelligence capabilities writ large, which includes their signals intelligence capabilities, have become highly competent at probably having a good detailed view of the targets they were contemplating and supporting whatever their plan of maneuver later became. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, obviously they were able to hide and employ one of the most prominent, you know, aspects of warfare, and that is surprise. They were completely able to catch Israel off guard. And the other thing is they learned a pattern from Israel that I think was really important. So one of the things they employed is they were able to actually understand the condition and the pattern of life of the Israeli military. And what's interesting is Israel just ended an exercise, and just like every other nation that ends an exercise, they actually sent a lot of people off base, right? They're like, because they swelled for the exercise, brought in a lot of overtime guys on out on the normal shift, swell, massive force, blah, blah, blah. Show your enemy that you're ready to go. And just like every other index is what we call it in the military, right? You go to min-manning, skeleton crews, this and that, and that's when they struck. I think there's probably a lot of senior leaders out there rethinking, how do we do index now? Maybe going to skeleton crews at the end of a thing is perhaps not a good idea.
What are your feeling on how they as an insurgency organization will try and maneuver in the spectrum and use it to their advantage?
Right now, the way that the war is being waged is the electromagnetic spectrum is not being engaged by Hamas, right? That Hamas is, you're watching Israel drop JDAMs with precision. They're probably hitting things that I'm sure the Hamas doesn't like, and I'm sure that there's civilians that are being killed. I know there's civilians being killed, and Hamas is most likely hiding among them. Whether those are war crimes or not, obviously there's going to be tons and tons of investigations about all this stuff. But I think whether it's air or the electronic spectrum, Israel is acting with impunity, right? They're not being denied anything. Where I see this shifting and where I truly find this discussion fascinating, my 30 years of military employment as an electronic warfare officer, I never once exercised, I never once practiced, I never once even thought about how do I fight in the electromagnetic spectrum in subterranean warfare. I don't know how to do that, right? So this is kind of an open slate, right? These young lieutenants and captains now have a blank page, right? So if you're Israel and you're going into the tunnels, right, you're going to try and find every single one of those cable lines that's allowing Hamas to communicate from, you know, tunnel hideout, and you're just going to keep cutting them, right? Because you don't want them to have the ability of command and control, and that's landlined in that case, right? So you're going to force everyone into the electromagnetic spectrum. You're going to force them onto radios. And as you and I both know, radios, electromagnetic signals through the ground or through forests don't really go so well, right? They attenuate very fast. Earth eats up the signals. So it becomes really a big challenge. That also makes it hard for the jammers too, right? Because if you're shooting your jamming through the ground, you're losing a lot of your ERP or your effective radiated power to the ground. So what do you do? How do you do this? I don't know if I have the answer, and I'd be foolish to say that I did, but I do love thinking about it, right? I love thinking about something that I'm watching on TV, people like, and I respect him dearly, a guy by the name of Colonel John Spencer, who wrote a book at West Point on urban warfare and what it's going to be like from a kinetics perspective, right? Teams going in, it's going to be bloody, urban warfare, subterranean warfare. And I talked to John. I said, hey, John, I'm like, look, well, why aren't you talking about, you know, what it's going to be like for guys to go down and do, you know, how are you going to do SIGINT underground? It's going to be really hard to do direction of arrival and DFing in tunnels, right? Because the signal bounce and stuff, he's like, and he told me, he's like, Fish, I don't talk about it because I don't even think I know what it's going to be like, right? So it's going to be fascinating. I hate to get all excited about war because I know a lot of people are going to die in urban warfare and this tunnel warfare, but to me, it is a unique and interesting aspect of warfare that really has not been explored and exercised, and sometimes, and it's rare to find such opportunities like that in war today, right?
It's interesting because that brings me on to my final question about what steps do you expect the Israeli military to take in the spectrum? And it's interesting what you've just mentioned now, that if you do get down into the tunnels and you start cutting those landlines and you're forcing Hamas to use the spectrum, however that may be, in a sense you could argue the Israeli military it's to paraphrase the old quote by Norman Schwarzkopf, that we needed to shift the Iraqis from fighting the kind of battle they wanted to fight to finding the kind of battle that we wanted to fight. And I can see that if they do succeed in edging Hamas out into the spectrum, in many ways, despite the challenges you're talking about, they're getting them into an environment where, as we know with the Israeli military, they're very competent at DW, and that could end up seeing them having a notable advantage in how they fight in the spectrum.
when Integral's in the tunnel, they don't have the luxuries of landlines, right? They're going to be completely reliant on the RF spectrum. So yeah, you want to force your enemy to fight in the same way that you have to fight. Make them fight your battle. Don't fight theirs. But let's talk about technology a little bit. Has BAE or any other, you know, huge defense industry out there that really does some good SIGINT capability and direction time of arrival and DFing and geolocation, have they really spent a lot of time figuring out how do I geolocate underground? I would argue no, because defense industry reacts to requirements of the defense world, right? And if the defense world has not put out that requirement, why would you go all waste your, you know, resources to build something like that? I don't know how you're going to find, fix, and finish guys underground other than, you know, walk through every single tunnel and weed them out. It would be really nice if the RF spectrum could be used in some way that could help geolocate, triangulate. Maybe some applications that are used in submarine warfare, right, could be employed. Ground and water share some characteristics, not a lot, not all, but they do share some. So if there's an ability to triangulate underwater that submarines use, maybe those would be applicable. I don't know how you get a guy to carry that. You know, size, weight, and power become an issue. You can't drive a tank through tunnels. So there's a lot to chew on here.
Well, as always, a lot to think about. And I feel we've probably only just scratched the surface of this subject. But, you know, alas, our time is always limited. So, Fish, my friend, thank you as always for your perspectives.
Tom, it's really, really enjoyable to be on. I love the stuff you put out.
Fish, it's always a pleasure, my friend. And don't forget, if you'd like to find out more about Fish's work, head over to his webpage at Jeffrey H. Fisher, that's FISCHER.com. And that is sadly all we've got time for, but don't forget you can find more news and analysis at ArmadaInternational.com. Thanks very much for listening.